All right, you're going to want to text the word watch to our talking text line here, 855-616-1620. Text the word watch to 855-616-1620. You will see something very bizarre from last night's Brewers game, right? You get certain shots of the crowd. You see people laughing, cheering, drinking their beer, watching the game. And sometimes, on a rare occasion, you might see a giant mascot sitting right next to the Brewers dugout. Not only any ordinary mascot here. This is Pablo Sanchez. He was in the ballpark. Why?
I thought it was a joke. I didn't know it even existed till this morning when I'm getting text messages with pictures of him in the background. I have no idea. This AI, what is this? You know, I didn't know he existed.
As Brewers manager Pat Murphy. So Pablo Sanchez is the most famous fictional character in the Backyard Sports video game franchise. And there he was, plunked down on the front row right next to the Brewers dugout during last night's game.
I had absolutely no clue who this guy was. I thought it was hilarious. I also felt for the people sitting behind
yes.
Pablo Sanchez. Who was sitting? But was anybody sitting behind Pablo?
You can't
tell. I see there are some seats that are empty, but there are a couple people looks like they probably had to do a little dipping and diving to see the action on the field.
Well, the size of Pablo's mascot head takes up several seats is what it looks like. He blocks out whatever the heck is behind him. He was there promoting the Brewers Backyard Baseball Night at the ballpark, which is actually coming up on Wednesday. Ever the fan of 90s video games, Adam McKelvey of Brewers.com. I don't know if you got a picture with Pablo here, Adam, but missed opportunity if you didn't.
I have had these weird experiences lately where all of a sudden I'm the old guy, and this was one of them last night because we got word before the game that this was coming, and I said, who's Pablo Sanchez, which was a big mistake around a bunch of like 20-something sports writers and radio guys because I got roasted the rest of the night. I definitely know who he is now, and there were people sitting behind him, and I think a couple of them weren't super happy
yeah.
about the fact that this guy was in the way. But then the Brewers scored 7 runs, and from my vantage point, it looked like everybody was pretty happy in the end.
I mean, I think you could have some people probably demanding a refund, right? Or maybe popping. Adam, I don't know if you heard me at the start, but there are some seats like behind Pablo that are empty. So maybe they could have moved over there. But I mean, it is fun. It's a laughable moment. But yeah, if you bought tickets, go see the game and you're stuck behind this big boy, that's tough.
Well, he was only there he wasn't even there for the full half inning.
Oh.
By the time the rally kind of fizzled, he moved out. And it was an ordeal. It was actually quite entertaining to watch the handler try to get him up the stairs and through those aisles because apparently that thing is like partially inflatable. And the fun fact I heard is to get through doorways, they have to deflate him a little bit.
Oh, geez. Yeah, so, makes sense.
You know, it's the perils of being a mascot. And then Chorizo won the sausage race, another mascot news, which doesn't happen very often because that's the most top heavy of the costumes. It's really hard to run in. And so it was just a big night for mascots last night.
Oh, yes. That's the headline.
Wasn't Chorizo the one that was stolen years and years ago? Was that Chorizo?
Yeah, I think so.
I thought it was a different... I thought it was... I can't remember.
I'm going to have to go to the Google.
Yes, famously stolen and then returned.
Or DuckDuckGo. So, I'll go look. Okay.
The Italian.
The life of a mascot, man.
The Italian knocked out a ceiling tile at my wedding, but we got an invoice for that. I did not bill the sausage for that. So the Brewers are on fire right now, Adam. And this is great to see, right? They separated from other quality teams in their division. The NL Central remains one of those rare divisions where everybody's above 500. So now you can get these talking heads start commenting on the Brewers. Oh, they got to go make a big splash. They got to get a pitcher, a Cy Young Award winning pitcher, Tarek Skubal from the Detroit Tigers. And there's all this national chatter around the Brewers making a big splash because if you want to get by the Dodgers, you better match their pitching or exceed it. This is fun to talk about June 2nd because it means the Brewers are playing well. But is that even on the radar of possibilities for Matt Arnold, given the way the Brewers typically do business?
Well, two different questions that you just asked there, I think. Is it on the radar? Certainly. And they certainly are already thinking about that. Where do you add? How big do you add? I mean, I think most people probably say the pitching, even though there are some spots in the lineup where you could improve. I think the feel is that they maybe have some options in the minor leagues to try first before you go add a hitter. On the pitching side, they have needs. And the question is how big. it is really fun to talk about the trade deadline. It's one of the best things about baseball. Happens in the middle of the summer when everybody is dialed in on their favorite sport. It gets a lot of buzz when your team does make one of those big splashy moves. It feels so satisfying. And then, of course, here, we all have the CC Sabathia memory of what a massive impact. That was like a franchise-changing midseason trade, the gold standard for what can happen if you push all your chips in. The problem is that if you really line up all those trades, just go look at the list last year alone. It doesn't work that way all the time or even most of the time. It often is satisfying in the moment and then doesn't have the impact because baseball is a sample size game and the sample size is so small when you're talking about just 2 months, the second half of the season, and especially with a pitcher where you're talking about just a minimal number of games that he's available for. So I would suggest that the emotional lift of making a move like that is much greater usually than the actual production lift that a player like that gives you. But they'll look at it and they'll be under pressure to do it because this team has been competitive, playoffs, no World Series. And certainly everybody feels the pressure to make it to and win the World Series. And, you know, considering moves like that is what you do when you're in the position to go for it.
Adam, the Brewers hit some season highs yesterday. For fans who are not necessarily keeping track of every single game and who want to adjust their records, what should they know?
Yeah, runs and hits. And their season high for runs was actually opening day. If you remember, 14 runs against the White Sox in the season opener. They didn't score in double digits in all of May, if I'm not mistaken. There was a late April game against the D-backs where they went off on runs and hits. But it had been a while. This is not a team that wins, you know, 16-2. It's a team that's winning 4-3 way more often with pitching and defense. And that's going to be the kind of team they are. They don't hit homers. They sort of run the bases well. They give you really tough at bats, get on base and kind of cause havoc. And then they defend and pitch you to death. So a night like last night is fun, I think, if you're one of the fans in the stands, because it's kind of the outlier for what this team has mostly been.
So Brewers manager Pat Murphy, he doesn't often mince words, Adam. You kind of know what he's thinking most of the time. He has preached patience with some younger players, pitchers and position players alike. But his recent comments after a start by pitcher Brandon Sproat really caught me, I guess, a little off guard. Even though all the fans are probably thinking the same thing, he said about Sproat's last performance, "We're not going to tolerate too many duds like this, that's for sure. If he's not going to step up, we're trying to win. We're not rebuilding." Message sent. My goodness.
Yeah, and part of that is knowing your players, right? If he thinks that Brandon Sproat is going to fold, if a manager says something like that about him, I don't think Pat Murphy would say it. It's a case of him knowing his guys and which players you can really push. I think of Sal Frelick with that, right? I mean, he's really hard on Sal and absolutely loves everything about Sal Frelick. And Sal's not having the season he wants to have. So Murph, I think, knows which guys he can kind of push those buttons with. And he is hard on them, and if there's a sort of critique maybe of Murph, it's that he tends to do that a lot more with pitchers than with hitters, and I'm sure there's some method to that, but I think if you think about Robert Gasser having some troubles this year, Chad Patrick at times, there's certainly more than one instance where Murph will sort of go really hard on a pitcher, and sometimes even to the point where he'll ask afterwards, like, was I too hard on him? But I think it's only when he knows that a pitcher is motivated by that in a way that's going to make him better and isn't going to break him. And I think they certainly feel that way about Brandon Sproat. And the bottom line is the stuff is great. I mean, the sweeper is not getting results right now, but I remember back in spring training pulling all the catchers in camp. And that's one of the pitches that they mentioned first when they talk about the best, like, singular pitches from any guys that were in spring training with the Brewers. Sproat's got some great stuff. He has a chance to be really, really good. You do not arrive in the majors and just dominate. Jacob Mizorowski did not dominate in the second half last year. And look at the way he's pitching now. So a little patience is always required, and sometimes it takes a nudge from a manager who doesn't keep those things to himself.
Speaking of Murph, that was pretty cool yesterday to see Pat Murphy supporting the other local baseball team, supporting UW-Milwaukee Panthers baseball. I know it didn't end as many of us were hoping, but was there a buzz around the ballpark because of the Panthers too?
Yeah, big time. And it was really cool. What Murph loves is he's got to know those coaches pretty well. And they've even had some coaching clinics where Murph has put on some clinics, and that UWM coaches have been part of it. He respects the underdog always. You know, he loves players like Sal, Dustin Pedroia at ASU. I mean, Murph, when he went to Notre Dame as a young coach in his 20s, they were a big-time underdog, and they hadn't had success in the NCAA tournament for a long time. And then he lifted that program with some good, scrappy players. So he always loves an underdog story, and he's very tied to this local team. And it was cool. And you know what? For UWM, it didn't end the way they wanted, but that's also a massive win for the program to put them on the map, to show what can happen. We were lucky enough in Houston to talk to one of the Astros relievers, A.J. Blueball, who went to UWM. And he's an Ohio kid, and he went to UWM for the simple reason it was the only D1 program that gave him a shot. And there's so many players on that team, he said, that that's their story. So it's a really easy program to root for. And you pick up a couple of wins like they did against starting with Auburn, at Auburn, and it really helps you get more good players who are hungry and want to win. So that's just a huge couple of weeks for the program, and congratulations to them. And yeah, Murph was all about it. And I think we'll see more of those hats around, too, because they're pretty sweet.
Very cool. Yeah, that's the state of Wisconsin outline. You've got the M right where Milwaukee is, a little bump out where it's next to Lake Michigan. Very, very cool stuff. Those are going to go. People are going to find those and buy them, no doubt.
We'll get those, and we'll get some Pablo Sanchez backwards caps that I need to just continue to learn about. I don't like feeling old.
Hey, speaking of those caps, one of our fans from the 414 just wrote in, and she says, Pablo Sanchez! I made it to ESPN, a highlight yesterday. Pablo Sanchez wasn't the only one with a yellow hat, though mine was almost impossible to see in comparison. She sent a picture, though we can't unfortunately see it on our text line here. But I guess she was like at the bottom left, and she said, my hair and my yellow flower Brewers hat made the clip anyway. And then actually, I know we don't probably have time for this, but we're going to have to come back because she's got a fun little thing about being close and possibly flirting with the boys of summer, but she didn't want to distract them.
Okay, fair enough. Well,
love
that's good.
The comment.
Not during a
Thanks
game.
Thanks for the text.
Save that for after the game. Always good to chat baseball with Adam McKelvey at Brewers.com. He'll be at the game tonight. We hope you listen in at 6:05 here on WTMJ. Good stuff, Adam. Thank you.
All right. See you guys.
Take care. 12:51 on WTMJ.